We're towards the beginning of the second bracha of Shemone Esrei, the bracha of Gevuras Hashem, of Hashem's power, of Hashem's strength. And what that means is Gevura is really demonstrating the midas of Hashem in terms of restraint. That's what Gevura is. Gevura strength is the ability to pull back. We said, Ata gibar l'olam Adonai mechai mesem ata rav lo shia. We explained what that meant. We did point out something that we'll see from other mefarshim as we continue in the bracha, that on one level, the bracha literally is referring, of course, to the belief of Tchiyas HaMesim, a belief that this world is not the end of existence. And that's, of course, a very, very fundamental belief in the entire Jewish theology. We believe in a world beyond this world. There's a famous story, we'll say, about the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Riatz. Actually, is his Yahrzeit tonight? His Yahrzeit is right around now. Maybe Hey Teves. It might be, wow, that would be weird if his Yahrzeit was tonight. We were saying, that where's Reich when you need him? I hope at the hospital? Is he? No, we don't know. We don't know where Reich is. But, no, not right. No, don't worry. We're just wondering if you were Reich. That's it, don't worry.
A different closet.
Close. Sure, close, right. So the Friedrich Lubavitch Rebbe one time had a Russian, a communist, who was trying to intimidate him, and he pulled a gun out and put the gun to his head. And the Rebbe Riatz, the Rebbe of Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, said to him, this is the way the report goes, Amen, that he said to him that, the difference between me and you is that you believe in one world and many gods, and I believe in one God and many worlds. So to you, it's scary pulling that trigger. To me, it's not scary. You're just going to move me from one world to another. I'm not bothered by it. And, the Russian communist put his gun away. He was impressed with the Rebbe Riatz. But that it is a fundamental belief, of course, in Machsheves Yisrael, the idea of Tchiyas HaMesim. And so on one level, of course, that's what this bracha means, that Hashem still extends his chesed, his gevura, to the Shochnei Afar, right, to those that are lying down. But we said, on a different level, and here you already have Rishonim that allude to this, that say that this is what the bracha is alluding to, there's another act of Tchiyas HaMesim, we said, that takes place every morning, and that's when we wake up. Because the Gemara in Brachas tells us that Shena is a taste of death, a tiny, tiny taste of death when we go to sleep at night, because our neshama is separating from our body, which ultimately happens in a more final way when a person passes away, when a person leaves this world, but to a smaller extent, when your neshama goes up at night to be refreshed. So therefore, when we come back down, every day is a little bit of a Tchiyas HaMesim, and it's alluding to that
sleep,
also.
Or somebody even just falls asleep on the train or in the work or something?
So that's a good question. That might relate to a different Gemara in Brachos about, the question of Netilas Yadayim when you wake up, of Ruach Ra, what is Ruach Ra din of, why do we have to wash Netilas Yadayim? If it's just a din in Makomos Mechusim, that you're touching places of your body that are covered, so then it wouldn't be. That maybe it's Stavka sleeping at night. But if you're saying, no, that there's a din of Ruach Ra, even when you lie down in a bed, or when you have a real sleep, even during the day, it could be that even that is a taste of Misa. Even that is a little bit of a taste of death, when a person falls asleep during the day with a Shenas Keva, with a set sleep. A sleep that you have to wash until Sidayim from. Right? But then we were up to the additions that we put into Ta'ata Gibar, L'olam Hashem Achai Mesim Ata Rav Loshia, Mashav Ruach Morid, Hageshem, Hagashem, Machlokes, and Girsos.
The difference between that was singular or plural.
No, it's a difference whether or not it's the end of a phrase, the end of the sentence, Hagashem, or is it just a phrase within the body of, in the midst of a sentence, which would be Geshem. The end of a sentence would be Goshem, in the middle it's Geshem. So there's a whole debate whether it's Geshem or Goshem. There's a whole debate what the Gra held. Talmidei HaGra seemed to say that it was Geshem, or Moshe Zatshuva, were from the brother of the Gon that he's a direct descendant of, that there was a Kabbalah that the Gra said Goshem. Okay, different Geshem, you're going to be able to say either way. But what is Mashav Ruach Morad HaGeshem? What is Morad HaTal talking about? So we'll talk about Morad HaTal Hashem should bless us another time to talk about Morat HaTal. Tal relates to Tchias HaMesim. We know Tal HaTchia, that there's a special do that we talk about Pesach time, that Hashem will bring around Tchias HaMesim with Tal. But what's Mashav HaRuach Morat HaGeshem? So there are a number of beautiful, beautiful pshatim. One very simple pshat, actually based upon a Gemara Bamatzia, based upon a Gemara in Tanis, based upon a few places, that you see Gevuras Hashem through the Ruach and Geshem. Because what is Ruach? Ruach, in some we're saying Mashav HaRuach, it means that when you walk outside after this, and there's a wind blowing past you, right, that you're getting a little bit cold, the leaves are being blown down the street, the branches of a tree are swaying, you know what that is? That's Hashem. I mean, it's a wild thing. We're not saying the wind is Hashem. We're not, you know, Spinoza. We're not. Please don't excommunicate me. We're not going to say the wind is Hashem, but we're saying that that is Gevuras Hashem. The wind that blows down the block, the wind that blows your hair, that is an expression of Hashem's Gevura. So when we see Gevura here, we don't mean that that's something that's big and that's something that's great, but it's a sense of control. It's the sense of Hashem, you know, pulling back and being expressed in this world. Morat HaGeshem, so why is Geshem and Gevura? So Gevuras Geshamim, the power of rain. Some say the idea how Hashem directs each drop of rain, the Mamari Chazal, that every drop of rain has an address that it's supposed to be going to. Talk about the Gevuras Hashem, talking about the Shevach of Hashem, Hashem's control over the whole world in that way. But there are other also pshatim as to what Mashav HaRuach Morat HaGeshem means. You know, the Or Gedal Yehu points out that Mashav HaRuach Morat HaGeshem is an expression, you know, if the bracha continues, Mechalkel Chaim B'Chesed, talks about Hashem sustaining the world. Mashav HaRuach Morat HaGeshem, the Or Gedal Yehu, I think it was based upon Sfas Emes, I didn't have a chance to look it up before. But the idea is that when there's incredible, when it rains, what is rain? Rain is Shefa coming down. Rain is a physical manifestation of a spiritual reality of God's blessing coming into the world. Not only back in the day when everything was based upon agriculture, not only back in the day when they didn't have desalinization plants, that they didn't have all the Jewish ingenuity to recycle water and the chvesvas, but even today, when Geshem comes down, when you see rain, it's a sign of, right, it's a sign of Shefa. It's a sign of Hashem's blessing coming into the world. So although it was very annoying today, well, meaning it's always Hashem Shefa. Sometimes Shefa's negative. I mean, you know, when Hashem, like Alpi Kabbalah, is the notion of a Shas Pekida. The Kabbalistic works, their years listed as Shas Pekida, Ace Pekida, time that God's presence is very intense, a special visit to the world. And if you look back in those years, either great things happen or horrible things happen to the Jewish people in those years. Extremes, yeah. And Ace Pekida. So, you know, right. So meaning there's a Shefa. We don't know, we hope it should be, as you say, Levracha v'lo l'klala, because rain could be, bring great blessing. Rain, I mean, where was it? Like a month and a half ago, there were like torrential rains in a day. They had tremendous amounts of rain, like enough rain for 4 months, and it caused somewhere in the south, like incredible amounts of death. Was it Alabama? I forgot where it was. Somewhere that it was just like wild. So right, it's or Levracha or L'Klal. There are other pshatim that very beautiful Mashav HaRuach Morat HaGeshem. That Ruach, there's a pasuk Kol Asher Berucho La'asos. Anything that is in his Ruach to do it. What does that mean? What does Ruach mean in that pasuk? Ruach means ratzon. Anything that was his ratzon, anything that was desired to do. So the pre-tzaddik, Reb Tzadok HaKohen, says, Mashiv HaRuach means that we're asking Hashem that once he's Mechayim Mesim, right? Atah Gibor Olam Hashem Mechayim Mesim Atah. Rav Loshi Hashem, that you brought the dead back to life. You woke me up this morning. What are we asking for now? Mashiv HaRuach. We're asking God to lift up my ratzon. Hashem, lift up my ratzon. Meaning, help me be inspired. Help me feel connected to you. Mashav HaRuach, what's Morat HaGeshem? So some say Morat HaGeshem is Morid, what's Geshem? Gashmius, the physical. How do you Mashav HaRuach? How do you let the spirit lift up? How do you lift up a person's real ratzon? you could only lift up Yeratzon by pushing down Gashmias. When a person is too connected to Gashmias, when a person is too connected to the physical and physical pleasure, by definition, it's going to be more difficult for you to connect to spirituality, right? And we know that's what the Vilna Gaon said. I mentioned the Chanukah last Thursday night by the Chanukah Mesiba. I believe I mentioned what the Vilna Gaon told his students, that Be'ikvsa de Mashiacha, it's going to be the hardest time to be a frum Jew, and it's not going to be because of pogroms, it's not going to be because of anti-Semitism, it's going to be because Yaakov will be holding the Akav Esav, Yaakov will be holding the heel of Esav, and that is that the Jewish people are going to be materialistically better off than they've ever been. That's going to be the hardest time, according to the Gra, to be a from Jew. And he says it's at the end of days. And that's what we're saying, Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGeshem. And why do we say this during the winter? Because during the winter, again, the physical world is, of course, a metaphor for the spiritual world. What happens during the winter? During the winter, the physical dies. During the winter, the physical world shuts down. But we were driving, I forgot where we were driving, on the one day of Chanukah vacation that the kids had, you know, it's so funny because my nieces and nephews, I was in Eretz Yisrael for the first 2 days of Chanukah. My nieces and nephews are like, they don't have off Chanukah, like they have school on Chanukah. I feel so bad. They only have one day off. I'm like, they don't go to school any Sunday. They're like, oh yeah, forget it. That's it. We'd rather not have school like that. That shut them up pretty quickly. Like, yeah, they're luckier than we are. Okay. And they have another vacation in January, right? Yeah, they have vacation in January. Like, oh, okay, we want to go to school in America. Right. Right. Yeah, plenty of vacations. But, you know, I was driving towards my kids and they were talking like, do the bears need to go to the bathroom while they're hibernating? Like all the questions kids ask. I said, I don't know. I said, how can we have to Google it? I don't know. It's a good question. I didn't Google it. I don't know if they need to go to the bathroom. Pasha says their body just shuts down. Meaning that during winter, the physical world shuts down. The metaphor of the physical world for the spiritual is exactly this, that during the winter, Mashiv HaRuach, this is our chance to lift up the Ruchnius, this is the chance to lift up the spiritual, Umorid HaGeshem, and lower down the physical, that the physical gets pushed down. That's the idea this idea of Tchias HaMesim that's taking place each and every day. Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGeshem. And then we go on to a very, very beautiful phrase, a very important phrase. Mechalkel Chayim B'chesed. So what does Mechalkel Chayim B'chesed mean? Literally it means sustains Chayim, those that are alive, with Chesed. So what does that mean? So some explain Mechalkel Chayim B'chesed. It means one of the Rishonim, that what we have to understand, that when Hashem gives us, we don't really deserve this. This is all chesed Hashem. As Yaakov Avinu said in Parshas Vayishlach, Katonti mikol hachasadim, I've been made small by all of the chesed Hashem that you've given me. So, learning from Yaakov Avinu, although this is the bracha actually of Yitzchak Avinu, we said that in the Akdama, whenever we learned last on this, but Mechalkel Chayim B'chesed means when you say this phrase every morning, you recognize Hashem, you're sustaining my life, B'chesed, out of your kindness, out of chesed, out of your love for me, not because I deserve this on any level. That's one idea of Mechalkel Chayim B'chesed. There's another idea of Mechalkel Chayim B'chesed, also a very beautiful idea, that you can tell a story about. They say Rabbi Isser Zalman Meltzer. You know where Rabbi Isser Zalman Meltzer was? Rabbi Isser Zalman Meltzer was one of the great, great Gedolim in Europe before the war, and actually he made Aliyah. He moved to Eretz Yisrael. And he was one of the greatest of the greats, Rabbi Isser Zalman Meltzer. It was Aaron Cutler's father-in-law, right? And that's why all the Cutlers have Isser Zalmans. That's where Bisser Rutzkin's son was, Isser Zalman Olshan, right? Isser Zalman, named for Bisser Zalman Meltzer. So Bisser Zalman, so one time that someone, like, he was a big Talmud Chacham, he was a big Rosh Hashiva, he was Rosh Hashiva Seitz Chaim in Yerushalayim, very, very big tzaddik, very well known. And once his wife was getting upset that people were coming him and hacking him with all these things, and he was doing like these favor that were beneath his covet, and his wife like said to him, I don't understand, you have svarim to write. You know, you have the Evan Ozel. He wrote the Evan Ozel, Peirush on the Rami. You have Svarim to write. You're wasting your time running around doing these favors for people. And he told his wife, he says, my chelik in Olam Haba is not because of the Evan Ozel. My chelik in Olam Haba is going to be because of the chasadim that I do for people. And there's a pshat based on something that Chafetz Chaim said. Mechalkel Chaim b'chesed. You know why Hashem sustains us? You know why Hashem gives us life and gives us all the brachas that we have? B'chesed. Because of the chesed that we do. And if a person is not involved in doing chesed, then a person is missing out on the purpose of life. Right? We know Reb Chaim Brisker on his tombstone. I haven't seen it. Maybe this summer, you know, where Bez Hashem during the 3 weeks, we're going to have a tour to Eastern Europe to visit significant sites in the Holocaust and to go to Kivri Tzadikim, I know, for Cohen. I'm sorry, Jeremy. We'll be with Ravelli, so, you know, it'll be like the same thing all over again. Sorry, Adam. But Bez Hashem, you know, they say, I mean, I've seen pictures of Reb Chaim Brisker's tombstone. What was the only thing he wanted on his tombstone? I mean, there are other things, of course, they added, but you know what he wanted on his tombstone, Reb Chaim? Two words, Ish Chesed. That was it. That's what Reb Chaim wanted on his tombstone. Question of what are you doing for others? Right? And everything is connected. Talmud Torah, what's the Iker limits of Talmud Torah? To teach others. Lumor Almanas Lalamed. Right? That's what it's about. The mitzvah, the way the Torah expresses the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is teaching your children. So you got to know something, right? We're talking about that. You got to know something to teach your kids, right? We have to learn. We have to make sure that we have what to teach. But that's the real mitzvah. But this is the pshat or bisser zalman said, my chelik on mahaba is not going to be because of Evan Ozel. It's going to be because he's a little chasad. Reb Chaim Volozhiner would always say, what I like to quote all the time from Reb Itzel of Volozhiner in the Akhtamat HaNefesh HaChaim, he wrote, Margul b'fumi da'avi, da lo la'atzmecha nivris, lo nivris adam el l'ho l'achrin. You know that you were not created for yourself, you were created to help other people. And that's what Mechalkel Chaim b'chesed means. Not only that, not that pshat that Hashem gives us, that we said that was one pshat, that Hashem gives us everything b'chesed. Everything we get is bechaste Hashem. We don't deserve anything. But the other pshat, based upon the Chavetz Chaim, is mechal kel chayim bechesed. That Hashem is going to support us. Hashem is going to sustain us only because we do chesed. We didn't give the shir about tzedakah tonight. Bez Hashem, maybe we'll have opportunity next week if people can make it. If not, maybe we'll just do it the small chevra and the tzedakah, and so we'll then send it out. But it's unbelievable when you learn the Shulchan Aruch and about tzedakah, when you learn the Rambam in Hilchot Tzedakah, you just learn the tshuvas in Hilchot Tzedakah, how it's stressed time and time again, how fundamental the mitzvah of tzedakah is, how the Shulchan Aruch says, you're never going to lose out from giving tzedakah. You're never going to lose out. A person never lost out because of giving tzedakah. It's not shaykh that you're going to lose out because of giving tzedakah, because tzedakah is so fundamental. Mechal kel chayim b'chesed. That you're sustained, Hashem's going to sustain you because you do chesed, because you help people, because you care, you call people, you reach out, you feel an achrayus to the other. That's why Hashem is mechal kel chayim b'chesed, for your chesed. And then we continue the next phrase, mechaye meisim b'rachamim rabim. And here also, what does it mean, Hashem is being mechaye meisim, but here it said, Mechai Mason b'rachem rabim. Before we just said Mechai Mason ato, that you are the one that brings back to life, but now we're saying Mechai Mason b'rachamim rabim. You do the Tchias HaMason with great, great rachamim. So what's pshat in this Tchias HaMason? What are we talking about here? So we said that there are many, many different pshatim. But one beautiful pshat, based on Ishbitz, the Pri Tzadik, quoting Rabbeinu HaKadosh of Ishbitz, that the idea is, what's Mechai Mason? That what's Tumas Meis, Al Pi Chassidus, Tumas Meis is Atzvus. It's sadness, depressive sadness. Mechayim Meisim, B'rachamim Rabim. That Hashem, you're Mechayim the Meisim, the people who fall into Atzvus, people who are depressed, people who are Begeder Meis, right? People that don't find any Simcha, people that walk away. Some say, Pshat is that it's talking about Rishon, the base Tefillah, Mabitza is talking about Rishon. Mechayim Meis Rishoim Af B'Chayim Nikru Meis. We're not talking about everyone when we sleep. Everyone when we sleep is Bechinas Meis. Right? So Mechayim Meis Amata, Hashem woke us up this morning. It's Kivuras Hashem. Bezus Hashem, Hashem should help us. We should wake up tomorrow morning as well. Right? Bezus Hashem Yisparach. But Mechayim Meis and Barachim and Rabim, we're referring here, according to Beis Tefillah, Dafka to Rishoim. They require Racham and Rabim. Racham and Rabim. Because they mamish don't deserve. They don't deserve to get up. Why should they be zocha to that? So that's one pshat. That the Mechayim Meis and Barachim and Rabim here, it's a reference to Rishoim. Others say Mechayim Meis and Barachim and Rabim is those that have fallen to Yish. Those that are begeder Meisim. Those Meisim Hashem Barachim and Rabim with great mercy. With great tenderness, Hashem, you bring them back. You give them opportunities. You send them the right people. You send them the right circumstances to slowly, slowly draw them back. And what's the phrase that comes right after this that would seem to support this? Meaning, why are we talking about Mechal Kelchayim, Mechayim Meis and Barachim Rabim? So you could say there's parallelism between the first phrase, Mechal Kelchayim, and then Mechayim Meisim, right? But, or what we're talking about, well, the reason why you don't want to say Mechayim Meisim is literally because now we go through the whole slew of phrases that are clearly referring to people in this world, and then we end with the phrase "Umekayim emunaso lishene afar." So lishene afar, what is lishene afar? Those sleeping in the dust. That's clear who we're referring to, right? So that's why many say that the Mechayim Meisim here is not referring to the dead. We're referring to people that are alive but beged their Meisim. But then we say right after "Somech noflim." And this is such a fundamental, fundamental idea in Torah, and certainly Torah Sachasidus, in Ashrei, the Samach and Ashrei, Somech Hashem L'chon Oflim Zakev Chol Kfufim, right? That personally, I have to be honest, that to me, that's the line of, I know Posech HaSyadechli is supposed to have a lot of Kavana. The two lines that I have most Kavana, Ashrei, Somech Hashem L'chon Oflim Zogiv Chol Kvufim and Karv Hashem L'chol Karv L'chol Asher Yikruv MS. Because what does Somech Noflim mean? What is Noflim? What Lashon is Nofel? Lashon Hove, right? Somech Noflim. Hashem is Somech. Hashem is supporting those that are falling. Meaning as they're falling, doesn't say those that fell, Hashem gets them back up. It says Somech Noflim. Hashem is supporting those. As they're falling, Hashem is there still holding you. You have to know that a person b'derech yirida, a person going on the way down, Hashem is being somech. Hashem is holding on to you, right? Hashem is supporting you, not letting you fall all the way. Hashem is holding on to you, not letting you collapse entirely. That's somech noflim. And then, it's already time, I didn't realize. And then rofei cholim. So we'll just say one yesod here. How's it already time? I guess we hocked a lot before we started, huh? I guess we baffled a lot. I'm sorry.
We didn't start at 10 o'clock.
Late, okay, I'm sorry. But the idea of rofei cholim. So here you actually have a machlokas achronim. When you say rofei cholim here, should you be having people in mind or not? Right? So Pinchas seems to say you're not supposed to have people in mind here. It's a different aspect of what you're supposed to be having in mind. Rav Mailuch Biederman points out in his Sefer, Berach Hayim, when he talks about Chanukah and he talks about Tefillah time and time again, is a beautiful yesod.
Excuse me.
It's a very interesting yesod and answers it's a question that I had for years. It's a question that I mamish had for years. I know it sounds weird. I had a question for years, so why didn't I do something about it? But the question I had was, why is Sim Shalom the last bracha of Shmoneh Esrei? I know on one level, Sim Shalom, because after you ask for everything, you need Shalom. And the last Mishnah in all of Mishnah says, In Kli Machzik Bracha, Ela Shalom. That Shalom is the Kli that holds all bracha. So that's nice. That's a nice idea, right? But why are we asking for it then? Have it as the last bracha where? In the Bakasha section. Right? Meaning after Shomea Tefillah, say Sim Shalom. The whole bracha, it's all Bakasha. The whole bracha of Sim Shalom is Bakasha. No, think about it. Sim Shalom, Tov, Vrach, Chinchas, Rach, Malen, Valka, Yisrael, Mech, Barcheno, Vino. It's all, right? It's all, and it's all like practical. It's not like, okay, Ritzei, you could say it's about Avoda, asking Hashem to listen to our tefillah so we can serve you again. Okay, so that's part of the Hodah, maybe you can say somehow that's an introduction to Modim when you get to it. But Sim Shalom, why is it there? So he brings down the idea that Sim Shalom is dafka after modim. It's dafka after modim. Why is it after modim? Because the greatest bakasha is only after a person has given hoda. That the greatest bakasha is a bakasha from hoda. And he says that's why Hanukkah is a time, was a time of incredible, incredible shefa. Because what was Hanukkah all about? Kavu b'halal v'hoda. The nature of Hanukkah was established through halal v'hoda. We light these candles, but we said from Shlomo Kulger, if you remember last week, that if you have one mitzvah, the Ner Hanukkah or halal, what are you supposed to do? Halal. And so the halal, the fact that it's a day of such incredible halal, that's what opens you up to be able to then have bakasha in such a big way. And that's what he says. Sorry, I'm trying to difficulty which piece it was. I thought I marked it off. Okay. Oh, so he says part of it is B'nai Yisachar, but the exact Nakuda I'm looking for is not B'nai Yisachar. He says it's B'nai Yisachar, Mamre Dalet Os Kuf Lamed Tes, that has this idea also, he says. But he says the idea is that when you ask just a straight up bakasha, Hashem looks, do you deserve that bakasha or not? Hashem's going to look at you, do you deserve it or not? But when you first give a hodah to Hashem, and from the hodah you ask, so he says it's a greater efficacy. The asking is going to have a greater effect. And that's why he says that when you say Rofei Cholim here is Begeder Shevach. And when you're saying this Rofei Cholim, you should have in mind people that need refus. Should absolutely have in mind. He says that you dafka should. Against Rav, it's interesting, against
what
Rav.
For the first bit brachos that they're the klali, like not...
Right, but you're not mentioning their names. You're not allowed to mention names, like you say. Just you have in mind Hashem Shevach, the greatness, Hashem Yerofei Cholim, and have in mind the person that you want that the Shevach to be chal upon.
Should you have in mind also similarly earlier stuff? You know, someone that has atzvos. Should you go ahead and have them in mind also?
For sure. According to Pritzadik, absolutely, for sure. We know later on, Shiva Shoftein of Aser Menu Yogan Van Nachar, Bavram Shor says that's when you have the mind. But based on what Malach Peterman is saying, absolutely, based upon the Pre Tzaddik, absolutely should have them in mind and then as well. But this is, again, I know this is going very, very slow, but I just hope you appreciate that we're going slow because you see that mamish every word was put by Nevi'im, Bediktuk Gadol, every word has tremendous tokif in your Shemona Esrei. So just to know that when we're davening Shemona Esrei, to try and take it a little bit slow, to try and again, to have all these kavanas each time, I don't know. But just work on one phrase this week. Work on one phrase. Each day, work on a different aspect of Mechayim Esam. And that's why part of the reason I'm appreciating giving these shiurim is because it's making my davening better. So Be'ezus Hashem, we should all be able to work on our tefillahs together.
Some other Jews change their bracha.